So here we are on the bank of the Nile, on the Upper Nile. This is the first location where we begin the Nile cruise, one of many for the next 10 days. We're gently enjoying the breeze from the Nile, the shade of the trees, the chattering of the birds all around us. All of what Mother Gaia has to offer here. The doves cooing. Just let those earthly energies and elements help you find your peaceful center. Let them guide you where your peace really is. Hear the cooing of the dove. Everything in Mother Gaia right now is gentle, just like our heart. Breathe slowly. Allow more openness from where you sit. Connecting deeper to this space, to this ground, to the Nile that you see flowing. Just like the energies that's flowing through us. Just like our soul that is everlasting, ever flowing, on a journey, a beautiful journey, on our incarnation here, this lifetime on Earth, together, and at this moment, with this group, beginning another phase, journey, of the Egypt tour, letting those benevolent feelings come and rise more from within us. Let the dove guide you. The dove, a symbol of peace, a peace that awaits the earth. A peace that is within us when we are all connected in our hearts. We just finished a magnificent tour of two temples of Abu Simbel, the temple of the great Ramses of Egypt, a grand, magnificent temple, a masterpiece of architecture representing a great battle. And then next to it, a gentle feminine temple of his beloved Nefertari. Two energies, one next to the other. The male, the masculine, and the feminine, the woman, in honor of one another's energies and strength, love and balance. Breathe. Let the dove guide you into that peace. Let that peace guide you deeper into your soul. You may even gaze for a moment on the Nile and feel your connection to it as it reflects back to you its love and wisdom. For it's seen thousands and thousands of years of history and millions of souls. Breathe. Yesterday, synchronistically, just before we arrived to Abu Simbel, not far from here, is the border of Sudan, where a ruler of Sudan was removed from his power after 30 years, and his country seeing a great revolution and liberation. Half of those who demonstrated for his removal were women. It's another sign for the new energy that is rising on the earth. And although we are not there to witness it in our eyes, we can feel it here. And we are in this moment and in historical time for this region in Sudan. For they want what we have naturally: freedom, equality, good life, protection, new opportunities, and care from those that they put in power, and love. So let us connect deeper and feel this sense of peace and liberation that is in this center, in this region right now. And let the Dove guide you deeper as we hear more from the gentle, sweet, loving, profound wisdom of Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. For those of you just discovering this channeling, we are still in Egypt. And this time we find ourselves in the south of Egypt. Abu Simbel is the place, and it's renowned for an achievement. The achievement is this. This area marks the saving and the salvation of two beautiful temples that were going to be covered by the waters made by the Aswan Dam. And instead, they were relocated piece by piece. It took 4 years to do it. And they were saved from the destruction of the water and losing these archives forever. And this is one of the reasons the group is here, to gaze then upon something that would have been covered completely and lost. I would like to use that entire scenario as part of a metaphor and ask you some questions and give you some chances for a definition. Perhaps you've never heard me speak of this before, but I may want to rewrite again what you think about certain words or concepts. You have an earth right now that is starting to come out of a dark place. And you're seeing it in so many ways, in so many places, in so many attitudes and perceptions. But there are many things that you might ask, and one of them is this. You've heard the term enlightenment so many times, and it means so many things to so many people. So let me redefine it. First of all, even before the definition, this word enlightenment has nothing to do with spirituality. Now that's a surprise to you, isn't it? Nothing to do with spirituality. Enlightenment has to do with a higher kind of thinking that starts to examine itself beyond the habits that it has had before. A kind of thinking that raises itself up from where it was and includes things that are not necessarily part of regular thinking, like the power and the result of compassion and love and fairness and kindness as a way of life. And so there are many who would start to have enlightened thoughts that have nothing to do with spirituality. Many times an enlightened group will surface, and it is poets and musicians and painters. It really have nothing to do with a belief system or an elevated spirituality, but indeed the consciousness would include then the soft things of life that would be compassion, love, kindness, fairness, and an idea that says that these things create an energy of themselves, all of them, that then spread to others. And it does it because that energy is higher than the one that you came from that was lower. So let's speak about enlightenment and also lower energy for a moment. Dear ones, you've come from a planet where the thinking is very common, and the thinking is an energy that is not enlightened, that says this. Basically, life is about survival. This is the thinking. And that to survive, you must do certain kinds of things and think certain kinds of ways. It's all about survival. And if you talk to someone who is not necessarily interested in the things you are, they will tell you that the earth is bad to you and that you have to raise above it by becoming strong. And in that strength lies the reason for conquerors and wars and all that is. But there are so many today, day by day, who are still in that mold. And they're struggling for survival, and they will tell you life is this way, day by day, one step at a time. Keep ahead of those around you, or they will take what you have. They'll tell you it's an earth where people suffer, and if you don't stay ahead, you will be one of them. Now, if you, as an enlightened human being, with the kinds of thoughts that we have discussed, who embrace the compassion, kindness, and love of a way of life, if you face off with that person right now and start a debate, they will look at you and they will roll their eyes and they will say, you will not survive because you are weak. And they will say that weakness is all of this love talk, and compassion, well, that's for other things. That's not for life. And they'll tell you to straighten up and that you're thinking in a poor way and you're not going to make it. Never understanding that the shoe was on the other foot at this point in time, meaning this, they're the ones who will not make it. And again, I want to present a metaphor And the metaphor is this: you cannot explain color to a sightless person. Imagine trying. They're two steps removed. And one of them is even to see the light, much less color it. But those who think in this negative way are also the ones who will always be complaining about everything that is, pushing the envelope of their own ego and power in order to raise themselves up into a place that they say, I am going to survive. And dear ones, they live in a black and white world. And if you show up and start telling them about compassion and love, they will see nothing in you at all that is attractive. Only weakness in their opinion. And so I'll say this again in the metaphor, because you are walking in color and they are walking in black and white. And you have seen this because so many of you have made a decision to move from that place I just described into a place that was more enlightened. And you know it didn't happen instantly. It never does. There are still shades of it in this group I speak to right now, because there are always those who are working on their own thinking process and their own enlightenment and trying to figure out and span the gap between that linear world of old thinking, which really is basically made up of habits, those that you look around and see, or those from history, or even those your parents have given you. And that is the reason, dear ones, that so many of you who are here in this place have had to step away from friends and family, because they're still in black and white. And they will look at you and they will again roll their eyes and say, you're weak and you won't make it. Never understanding that a world in color is coming. What is the step that you could take to get from those who would be submerged in the darkness forever and never see the light to one who would walk in color? What are the steps? And the first one is realization that there's more. And this happens in so many ways. And sometimes, listen, it's sometimes when you meet someone and they see in you something they have not seen in others, and they want more. You see it on this trip, and you've been told by others, who are you? What are you doing? You're different. And in that, dear ones, there is a glimpse of color. I should say it again. In a black and white world, there is a glimpse of color. And I'll make this statement, dear ones, once you see color, you're never going back. When you know color is available and you are in black and white, suddenly you see the difference, even a little, even a little. And that little might be you talking to someone who you think doesn't even like you or doesn't care. And something may happen between you that you're unaware of. They get a glimpse of the compassion that you send that's in your life, in your softness, in your kindness to them. So the first step is realization. There was a big decision to be made when the temples had to be moved. The water was coming. And they had the choice to move them or not. And in a practical world, there had to come together many. In order to achieve this, it had to be funded, it had to be produced, and it had to be moved brick by brick, rock by rock, taken apart, put together for years. And that is a metaphor of someone who has decided that they're going to go to the higher ground. That is, the color is coming. And they decide to take their entire life, their entire psyche, their personality, their belief and all, and move it. Dear ones, I want you to notice, if you ask the architects who put this together here where you are, if you ask them how much was left behind, what do you think they'd say? They would say, of these two temples, nothing. We moved it all. And there's just rubble where it used to be. And now it stands on higher ground for you to see it and appreciate all its wonder and history. And they were careful when they did it. And so what that metaphor is this. You cannot come partway out of the dark energy in black and white and call yourself in color. You cannot have 1 foot in the other world and 1 foot in color and say, I'm enlightened. But there are many in process, and that's different. You know you're building it block by block because every single one of you is different. And your consciousness is different, and how you operate and work and decide is different. Some of you have very long time cycles. My partner is one of them. And so it takes far longer in a cycle to make things happen. And then part of his chart is a fast turnaround. And so some things happened immediately and other things took a very long time. And so he was in process many years of disassembling the old and reassembling the new in higher ground. But I'll tell you right now, as you look at him, there is nothing left in the old black and white, much to the chagrin of perhaps his family or those around him he used to have and call colleagues. He couldn't leave any of it behind. And that means he doesn't associate much with them. It's just like you, isn't it? It's just like you, isn't it? You make these decisions to move it or not. And then some of you do it quickly and some of you do not. Never judge yourself simply because you're building the blocks between the worlds of black and white and color. Because, dear ones, it's all about intent. And you can see behind you when you stand up what intent accomplished. Again, I remark this. Before the Aswan was built and they realized the water was coming, and when the construction was underway, there were those who looked at these temples and said, let's move them. And as soon as they produced that idea, they were barraged with negativity. Impossible. It can't work. You'll never find the money. No one's interested. Our government probably won't help. And the list was endless. And then little by little, color was starting to be seen. Could it be done? Who would do it? Can we ask others? Can we get help? Are there others who are in color who can see what we are glimpsing and will do the work with us? And the answer was yes, yes, and yes. You sit among those who are ready to help you. Perhaps you're here and all of this is new and you're now starting to understand, just understand even a little bit of it. If this is you, I invite you to look around. If you can see color in any of these who are here, a way of life that goes way beyond survival or ego, and it lifts you right out of a world that you thought was a victim world into one that honors your magnificence. Finally, there are those who say, get real, Kryon, get real, Mr. Carroll. Life is just like it is. Take a look at the news. Take a look at everything else. These were those who, when they saw the plans to move the temple, said, can't be done. Look around. Look at the reality of this. You'll never get this. It'll never happen. And on and on and on. And what they did was change their reality. Imagine two huge temples looking exactly like they were built. All the space away, elevated to a higher level, and moved a long distance. today you see the result of those who said it could be done. Because they changed their reality. Do you see this? How many of those do you think saw this in their minds, even with you coming? And the answer is most of them. They changed their reality from a reality which would see the temples submerged and lost forever to moving them block by block, getting the funding, and making it happen. That's the invitation, to step out of the black and white world that you're in, get out of the idea, the linearity of survival is everything. Because I'll tell you what happens that you don't know. When you get into things like compassion and kindness and love, and it becomes a new reality, something takes place. There is a confluence of energy that starts to work in your favor. It's almost like these higher thinking concepts and perceptions actually create energy you didn't expect. And that energy you didn't expect gets things done. You meet people. Things happen in your life far, far better than when you tried to do it yourself in survival. These are the things we teach. A new energy is here. The difference between black and white and color is upon you. And think for just a moment of all that took place in this very area where you are in order to produce these temples so you can look upon them and go inside them and honor those who built them instead of them being in the dark, underwater, and crumbling right now. That's who you are. You're a manifester of new reality, and you're starting to work in full color. That's the message of Kryon. It always will be. And this is what's happening on the earth right now. The wind is at your back. It's no longer the struggle it would have been. I invite those to awaken who are listening to this right now. Awaken to a world in color, even if you sit in black and white and you think there is no hope. Perhaps you have heard color even in this message. Perhaps you've heard the love soar through from the creative source, which you call God, who knows your name. Perhaps this message is right for you today, and that's why you came to hear it. Let it be so. And so it is.